So Vishnu Sahasranama, and we are on verse 106.
106.
I mean 106, the 106. Nama.
Yeah.
Verse Nama. Repeat after me. Satyaha.
Satyaha.
Then avitata rupatvat.
Avitata rupatvat.
Paramatma.
Paramatma.
Satyaha.
Satyaha.
Murta murtatmakatvat va.
Murta, murta,
murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta,
murta,
murta, murta,
murta, murta,
murta, murta, murta, murta,
murta, murta,
murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta,
murta,
murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, murta, Sad iti, sad iti, pranaha,
pranaha.
Ti iti annam.
Ti iti annam.
See that, Sandy?
Mm-hmm.
Ti iti annam. Okay. Yam iti vivakaraha.
Yam iti vivakaraha.
Tena.
Tena.
Prana anna aditya.
Prana anna aditya.
Rupatvat va.
Rupatvat va.
Satyaha.
Satyaha.
Satsu.
Satsu.
Sadhutvat.
Sadhutvat
va.
Va.
Satyaha.
Satyaha.
Okay, so he gives different different meanings for this. So satyaha basically means that the truth, or that which is real, that which is true. And so when we're talking about the orders of reality, we have satyam, means that which exists in all three periods of time, that which is real, that which is true. So satyaha. So it can also be satyaha in terms of telling the truth, speaking the truth, or that which in terms of its being is real. And by that it means it doesn't come into being and go out of being. So that's the Vedantic definition of satyam, paramarthika satyam, that which actually is real, is true. So here, so take satyaha first as this first meaning. Avitata rupatvat, because of having for its nature rupa, take rupa, rupatvat, because of being, in the English we'd say because of having for its nature avitatvat or avitata. Avitata means that which is not unreal, not mithya. So vitata means that which is false, that which is mithya. Avitata means that which is not false, that which is not untrue. Avitata. So, what would that be? It is the Paramatma. The Paramatma, nominative singular, is satyaha, is real, because it is not mithya. Because of not being mithya. Right? Because there's only one thing, that everything within duality is mithya. Because every single thing within duality on every level is subject to change, is subject to negation. And so anything that is subject to change or negation or non-existence means that it's bordered by what is not. Right? If it's bordered by non-existence, then that thing, whatever it is, can't have any existence in the middle. Because nothing can come from non-existence. Because non-existence isn't there. So you say something is non-existence, it's not there. You can't say, well, from this thing that is not there, something arises. Well, it can't arise because it's not there. Okay, so for something to actually fulfill the definition of satyam, it means it has to always be there. It can never be negated in past, present, or future. You can't say in the past that was not there. If you can say that and it's there now, then it's mithya. Because then its being must have been dependent upon something else that was there. See what I mean? And so, satyam is that which is not mithya, avidita. You know, in the Mandukya Karika for mithya, Gaudapada uses this word, vidita. You know, means that which is
for
false.
Mithya?
For mithya, that which is false, that which is really, has no real being. So avitata means that which is not false, that which is real, that which is not unreal, that which is non-negatable. Okay, so that's the idea. So of everything that is, all of the possibilities that exist, there's only one thing that fits the definition of satyam, and that is the Atman. Because everything else within mithya, within time and space, is subject to change. And by that, by the definition of satyam, if it is subject to change, it becomes mithya, not satyam. Okay, so by definition, so now look at this, the paramatma, the self, they say paramatma, paramatma means Brahman. Not that the self that you take to be the body, mind, sense organ, it's not the Ajnana-laden definition of self. The Paramatma, as we just said in the chanting, that Atma abides in the Paramatma. Your being is, in fact, the Paramatma. The Paramatma is that Atma which is Desha, Kala, Vastu, Aparicheda. It can't be circumscribed or limited by space, time, or Vastu, or objectification. Right? So that's the Paramatma. Paramatma is Brahman.
Which is no different from Atma, right? Paramatma.
It's no different than Atma. No, it's just a heuristic for teaching. You recognize that your Atma is the Paramatma, is Brahman. Okay.
Yeah.
So here it says, the Paramatma is Satyaha, is real, is the truth. The Paramatma is Satyaha, both nominative, because of its nature being avitaka, being not false, not mithya, because it is not mithya. It's not dependent on anything for its being. Does it come into being and go out of being?
And mithya depends.
Yeah. Everyone see that? So that's one. Then he gives another meaning, murta amurta atmakatva va. Here, Satya has another meaning. Murta means that which has form. Amurta is that which does not have form. So that which has form, that which does not have form. So now this part says, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about this in a minute. Murta amurtatmaka taught, or because of its nature, here atmaka, because of its nature being, atmaka taught. Because of having for its nature, because of being having its nature being the form, what has form and what is formless. So there, when we say that which has form, that would be in the five elements, would be fire, water, and earth is murta, amurta is space and air. And so keeping that in mind, this is another...
Yeah. I usually don't hear it that way.
No, I know, but Swamiji, let me read you what Swamiji says here. What is murta manifest with forms as fire, water, earth, and other elementals, Minti says, and other elementals. What he means by that is all of this that we experience are either the five elements or combinations of them. The combinations of the five elements are called the elementals. Okay, so that's what he means here. Manifest with forms as murta, manifest with forms as fire, water, earth, and other elementals is considered is sat. What is amurta does not have a tangible form as air and space. That is called tyat. Okay, so now if you say satyam, they're breaking the satyam into sat and tyat.
Oh.
And so it's an etymology. See what I mean? So that's one way of taking satyam is a combination of sat, which is murta, that which is with form, and tyat, that which is without form. Because all forms, the formless means like space and air and anything that has no form, that is only Ishwara, and all of the things that have form are only Ishwara. So Swamiji says... both these are nothing but Ishwara, the Lord, who is in the form of Sat and Tyat. That is, the formed and the formless is Satya.
Nice.
So that's almost a different definition of
form. It's a different definition. So,
form and formless.
But in one thing to understand about Sanskrit, and Sanskrit compounds also, is that you can break a compound or an etymology in different, you can do an etymology of a word in different ways, and you can break a compound in many different ways. If the way that you break the etymology is valid to the meaning in the context, then, or if the way we break the compound, we could break a compound in several ways, and all of those ways, if all of those ways are valid, there's just like different ways of defining something, so it becomes just gains a richness. On the other hand, you could break a compound or do a particular etymology that won't apply in that particular instance, and then in logically, if you're doing a commentary, if there are two ways something could easily be taken, one will be accepted logically based upon its position in the work and all that, and the other will be negated because not relevant to the context. See what I mean? So here, this particular etymology is being given as something which works, because we say that Brahman, that Vishnu is everything, the formless, and everything that has form, everything that is formless, there is nothing that is not Vishnu, nothing that is not Ishwara. So that's the meaning that. Then there's another one that's really interesting, very similar. Sad iti pranaha. Okay.
Sad iti pranaha.
So the sad of satyam is prana, means the vital force. So this is from the Aitriya Upanishad, does this particular etymology. So sad iti pranaha. Then ti iti anam. The ti, so you think sad the sa is prana, sad iti pranaha. The ti, so sad ti, that would be sat ti now. Mm-hmm. The ti iti anam is food. Mm-hmm. So you have prana, and the ti iti anam is food. Anam means food. So ti iti, thus food. Mm-hmm. Ti is food. Mm-hmm. Then yam iti divakaraha. The yam is a word for the sun. So you have the prana, you have food and the sun, these three, divakara means sun. By that, so therefore prana, anna, aditya. Aditya means sun. Mm-hmm. So the prana, the vital force, anna, food, aditya, sun, rupa, twat, because of being in the form of, or because of having its nature, being in the form of prana, anna, and aditya, va means or because of this reason, it is called satyaha.
Well, how did they break it into sati and yam?
It's a verse from the Aitriya Upanishad. Swamiji says in the Aitareya Aranyaka says that sat is prana, breath, ti is anam, food is food, yam is aditya, the sun. So he who's in the form of breath, food, and sun is satya. So we could take satya to mean that, the one who is in the form of breath, food, and sun, you know, is called satya, or the one who is in the form of the formless in the form is satya, or the one who is satyam, paramartika satyam. So these are just three etymologies that are given. In fact, this is actually in the Aranyaka, so I don't know that I don't have the Aranyaka here. I don't know that this is in the Upanishad. Might be in the section right before the Upanishad, this famous verse. And Shankara this is from Shankara. So Shankara in the Sanskrit, and I do have that commentary, I can look at it. Shankara is citing these three ways of taking satya in terms of all being ways of talking about Ishwara, talking about Vishnu. So in that Aranyaka, that's going to be in a context. Everybody see the Sanskrit?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's one more. Satsu. Sadhu. Yeah, satsu.
Satsu.
Satsu. Twat.
Sadhu twat.
Va satyaha.
Va satyaha.
Satsu means among the good people. Among those who are good, the followers of Dharma. So sad means a sad purusha is a good person, you know, a person who follows Dharma, can also be used for mumukshus, but really it's broader than that. So so among the dharmis, those who follow dharma, sadhutva, because of being sadhu, because of being a sadhu, means one who blesses, one who protects, one who blesses, one who is a sadhu among toward the dharmis. Va means or, he is called Satya. So Swamiji says here, again he is known as Satya because Satsu Sadhutva, he is compassionate, means a sadhu, toward his bhaktas who live a life of dharma. One again, we talked about this some, but the sadhu means the, if you take sadhu as the sannyasi, the mahatma, it's one who has that abhayam vow, you know, that no being be afraid of me and let me not be afraid of all any being. And the way that I, to me, that's a continual sadhana for whenever you're not being that way. And the thing I like about it the most is, well, may no being be afraid of me. That part maybe is, that means may I be accepting of all beings, may not be rejecting. But that may I not be afraid of all beings, to me that means, and one way of taking that is, let no being be a trigger for me.
What?
Not let no being, no person, no being be a trigger for me, so that I am afraid of them, I reject them, I keep them, I push them away. There's no reason, 99.9% of beings, you do not push away.
Right.
There's no fear, there's no resistance. We push people away because somehow they are a threat. And so whenever you find yourself rejecting a person or pushing them away, that is a sadhana, to go inside. Because most people you don't push away. There's crazy people, there's all kinds of people. There's angry people and obnoxious people, all kinds of people. They do not trigger you at all. They just are what they are, you know. But there's some people that come into your sphere that for one reason or another, you know, you find yourself wanting to keep them at bay, not wanting them to become close to you. And I'm not at all saying that everybody should be your best friend. That's inappropriate. You know, that's all a proverb. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that a certain fear that arises that makes you want to keep distance from, keep them away from you, because something's triggered inside. So that abhayam vow, which is the sannyasa vow, to me is an overarching. It's the ahimsa. It's the vow of ahimsa. You know? And so, anyway, I think of that for that sadhutva. So satsu, among the dharmis, the one who is sadhu, the Vishnu Ishwar is sadhu. He's very compassionate toward the dharmis. Now, how you have to take that is, a dharma attracts pain. And so Bhagawan is not, it's not that he's making favorites. Ishwara is the whole. And so Ishwara, you know, is a blessing, is only a blessing to the dharmis. But to the adharmis, he's the great punisher, Janardana. It's called Janardana, the one who punishes the people, you know. But he's not, how is he punishing? It's not throwing a lightning bolt, it's not that. It's that the adharma itself attracts pain. It causes pain, it attracts pain. The adharmi causes pain for others and also experiences pain because of the adharma. So anyway, that's a kind of a beautiful.
You know, there's something funny about these triggers. They come up on you all of a sudden. It's not like there's a build-up or you can get ready for it to happen.
But that's why you need some sort of an auto-suggestion to how to handle it. How do you respond when things are triggered in your mind? You have to have trained yourself or have a an auto-suggestion that knows how to be with these things that trigger, instead of acting out in the world as though it's somebody out here that's doing something to you, you have to go in and have a dialogue with that.
So it's like you're putting in a counter trigger that's ready for the trigger.
Yeah.
So it comes up, yours comes up too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Trigger blocker. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Trigger blocker. Yes.
So do you have to be on guard about these triggers and just take it as it comes?
You have to be on guard only in that your mind has a counter trigger.
Oh.
Yeah. See, if you've never worked on that or thought about that, then all you have is the trigger, and then you just react automatically to that. But say if you are trained to recognize that, then you respond to it in the way that you've trained to respond to it.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's become sadhana.
Yeah.
That's your sadhana. You know, otherwise you're just behaving unconsciously.
So you don't have to.
And those reactions are the reality that you're living out. Okay.
Can I ask a question? It has nothing to do with this at all, but I have to ask anyway. So, desha kala vastu
aparicheda.
So that's a definition of sad.
It's a definition of like the paramatma. It's a definition of parama. You know, and so if we say like, when we say the paramatma, what does parama mean? Like you can just say, well, parama means supreme. But say I want to get into the specific definition of parama when we say paramatma, what Swamiji will say, to how to really flesh that out, the meaning. That which is not limited in any way. Paricheda means limited or circumscribed. It's not limited in any way. What does that mean? Well, it's not limited spatially. It doesn't exist here but not there. Right? It's not limited by kala, by time. There's no time where when it is not. There's no place, space, so desha. There's no place where it is not. No limitation there. Time, kala. There's no time when it is not. Vastu, there's no thing which it is not. Like, this is a vastu, this is a vastu, this is a vastu. So we say that the paramatma is this, but not this. It's this thing, not this thing. No, there's no thing which it is not. So desha, kala, vastu. So in all of these ways, it's trying to cover the universe, basically.
Okay.
In all of these ways, there is no it's not circumscribed, not limited.
Okay, and this word desha, how is it used differently than akasha?
Desha is really, akasha means,
more?
It has more of the sense of space, and more of the sense of place.
A place in
place,
space.
Yeah,
like
yeah, but it's also, desha comes from the dik, which means the four quarters, so the four places, so it also is very similar to space, but it has more of a sense of place.
Okay.
Yeah. But we can use it as space. So like, say if I say, it's not spatially limited, I can say that, or I can say there's no place where it is not. It is there in all of the four quarters.
And then they use Pareshwara also.
Parameshwara. The because there are, you know, all of the devatas, so when you say Ishwara and then you say Parameshwara, it's just adding that understanding of the one who is the limitless, the Lord of all.
Yeah.
So when we say Desha Kalavastu Aparicheda, that is defining it in the context, within the context of the universe and space, but it's actually, even outside it, is what it exists. So outside of time and space and vastu also.
Yes, because it really gets to the vastu, because it gets to the satyam mitya. You can do all kinds of things with that when you're talking about it. Because this Ishwara, you know, there is no place, no time when Ishwara is not. And yet, everything within Ishwara comes into being and goes out of being. Ishwara doesn't come into being and go out of being because it suffers no limitation. Everything else is bound by its time and space and quality.
Yeah,
object.
This nicely defines the box of the creation as well as being out.
So in manifest creation and outside of manifest creation.
How do we know
it exists?
Because we're talking about it as that which is such an ananda. The very definition
of... It just
seems
like a postulation.
It would be a postulation if it weren't yourself. If it weren't your very being,
okay.
then it would be a postulation. But since it's your being, you can have actually a aparokshagnanam if it means the direct recognition through neti neti. Not this, not this, and then a positive assertion. So it's there to be recognized. That's very true. If it's outside of your being and it's nothing that exists in the universe, you have no access to it at all. Right? But we're talking about Advaita, so it has to be you. There we go.
That's good. Then Maha Ishwara, is that another way to...
Maheshwara. Mahan again means that which is great or infinite.
Yeah.
Maheshwara. These are all just beautiful adjectives of praise and like Maheshwara. Maheshwara is limitless, infinite or great. Translations don't work very well. The great Lord.
the great infinite Rocky Lord. Mountains.
Works so beautifully in Sanskrit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's do another one. Samatma.
Samatma.
Sarva Bhuteshu Samaha.
Sarva Bhuteshu Samaha.
Eka Atma Va.
Eka Atma Va.
Samaha Atma.
Samaha Atma.
Mano Yasya.
Mano Yasya.
Raga Dvesha Adibihi.
Raga Dvesha Adibihi.
Adushitaha.
Adushitaha.
Saha Samatma.
Saha Samatma.
So he has different meanings here. The first one is Sarva Bhuteshu, in all beings. Is Sarva Bhuta, Sarva Bhutatma, Sarva Bhuta, you know, Sarva Bhuta Sharanam. We use Sarva Bhuta all the time. Means all beings. It can be all beings. Sarva Bhuteshu can be in all beings and all living beings. It can also be in everything that is. All of the elements and elementals, because Bhuta also means the elements. So in all of the elements, and that would include the elementals, that which is the same. Or you can take it here, like I think Swamiji takes it, the self, the one who is the same in all. The one who is the same in all beings means the self of all beings. Samaha means same. The one who is the same in all beings. So say you have a man and a woman, the same Atma. So you have a good person and a dharmi and a dharmi, the same Atma. So you have an agitated person and a person is shanti, same Atma. Right? It's not twins. It's... It's not, oh, you know, they're the same, really. You know? No, they are only one. So here he says, Sarvabhuteshu Samaha means Eka. When we mean same, we mean Ekaha. Ekaha Atma, the self that is one. So Sarvabhuteshu Samaha is Ekaha Atma. The one, so if we say the one is who is the same in all beings, we could as well say the one who, the Atma which is one. Same in all beings, being the one, the Atma which is one, Nandu Atma in all beings.
And that includes the Asuras?
Yeah. It includes all beings. That's one way to take it. The next is another way. Samaha Atma, where the Atma is Samaha. So what do they mean there by samaha? Here the atma is taken as mano yasya, the one whose mind. So samaha atma yasya bahuvrahi, the one whose atma, because atma is often means mind, okay? It depends on the context. So the one whose atma is samaha, is the same. What does that mean? So mano yasya, so take manaha, to mean, atma, to mean manaha, make it a bahuvrahi compound, for whom the mind is samaha. What does that mean? Raga, dveshadi, bihi, by raga, dvesha, etc., your likes, your ragas, your likes and your dislikes, etc., raga, dveshadi, bihi, adushitaha, the one whose mind is not sullied, made impure, past passive participle, Dush means to have those bad qualities of to be sullied by, sullied by. The one whose mind is adushita, not sullied by raga dvesha. And then, I think if you remember in this previous verse of 105, he talked about the upakleshas, raga dvesha, the likes and the raga dvesha ajnanam. These are the kleshas, these are the impurities. Then it's what are called upakleshas. They're the smaller kleshas because they're born out of these kleshas, the major kleshas of your raga dvesha, ajnana born raga dvesha. But the upakleshas, there's, let's see, list them here, madadi bihi. Mada means like pride, and then kama, krodha, desire, anger. So mada, kama, krodha are considered upakleshas.
They're like little children.
Those upakleshas are dependent on the kleshas. So they come, upa means like they come after, they follow, they're dependent upon. They're not next door neighbors. Yeah, they're near the kleshas. So we said the smaller ones. You know, so like mada, pride, arrogance, anger, krodha, the kama, they come after your ajnanam, raga, and dvesha. So these kleshas and upakleshas. So here, he says, adushitaha saha, that the one whose mind is adushita, not troubled by, you know, not stained by raga, dvesha, adibhihi. See that? He is called saha samatma, the one whose mind is samha, always the same, tranquil. Right? The mind isn't changing. It isn't being pulled around, you know, twisted around by all of these different types of kleshas that are born of raga and dvesha, and it actually have their root in ajnana, in ignorance. You guys see it?
Yeah.
Samatma. So that's another way. So Swamiji says the self, which is the same in all, that's the sarva-bhuteshu samaha, the one atma in all. Or the one with unchanging mind. That's the sama. The mind's always the same. It doesn't change. In terms of its, it enjoys shanti. The vrittis are changing, but the quality of mind isn't changing. It enjoys shanti. Okay? Let's do another one. Asamittaha.
Asamittaha.
Asamittaha. Or samittaha.
Samittaha.
Now, you see there's two meanings there? Mm-hmm. The reason there's two meanings, either, and they're opposite, is because if you look at 107 where it says samatma, mm-hmm. that compound ends in an ah, and this one starts in an ah. So ah and ah, you know, can make these two come together. Or you can keep them apart, so it depends. Like you could have samatma, and then you could have samittaha mm-hmm. as two words. Mm-hmm. But if they're run together, you know, then it's going to be samatma asamittaha. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so Swamiji says, it's the first one. What does he say? Something cute there. He says,
not in vogue.
Yeah, he says, that's the first one that's in vogue, he says. Yeah.
It's so funny that they mean determined or not determined. That's, you know, it's like you can't even determine whether it's...
Yeah, you can't even determine whether it's determined or undetermined. So this word, mitta, means that which is measured. Mm. Sammitta mm. means well measured, very clearly measured, discerned, like in for the Vishwa, for the Ishwara Swarupa, everything is very clearly delineated. In your mind, just on a mental level, the jiva srishti is not as clear. It's not as solid. But in the jiva srishti, even it is in the jiva srishti also. But in the Ishwara srishti, everything is very clearly delineated, like this is a computer. This computer is not blending into the table. Right? This is clearly an object. This is clearly another object. This is clearly another object. So all of them, the Ishwara Srishti, everything is clearly manifest. So, and asamittaha has a different meaning. It is immeasurable. Mm. Mitta is measured or delineated Asamitta means it cannot be measured. Because Brahman and Ishwar also, in terms of the Ishwar Shruti, there's no limit to it. There's no possibility of measuring it. So let's look at what he says here. So repeat after me. Sarvaihi aparichinnaha.
Sarvaihi aparichinnaha.
Amitaha.
Amitaha.
Iti asamitaha.
Iti asamitaha.
So let's look at that name. Sarvaihi aparichinnaha. That which, you know, paricheda, mm-hmm. aparicheda, this is just a past passive participle mm-hmm. of aparichit, chid, aparichid, aparichinna. So that which cannot be, that which cannot be measured or delimited by anything, sarvaihi, nothing by any, by all things, it is immeasurable. It can't be measured by anything. So sarvaihi, by all, by anything, aparichinnaha, amitaha. So amitaha is sarvaihi aparichinnaha, that which can't be measured or circumscribed or limited by anything. Sarvaihi aparichinnaha amitaha iti asamitaha. The sum adds strength, like samyak, clearly immeasurable, you know. So asamitaha. So this major meaning is mitta with asamitaha. Okay, amitaha asamitaha. Thought that the sum is not changing the meaning, it's accentuating the meaning. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what we call the upasargas, or these little prepositions, either accentuate the meaning, mm-hmm. they don't change the meaning at all, or they make the meaning quite different. Okay.
Like vijnana and jnana.
Vijnana can accentuate, or it can make the difference between just paroksha jnanam and aparoksha jnanam. So it depends on the context. Yeah.
Do you feel this about your own awareness, consciousness, that it can't be measured? Does that resonate when you define it like this?
Yeah, but you have to, it's not enough just to say yes. You have to understand, when you say that conscious being, that your being, is not limited by desha, by space, say, for instance, I'm using desha now, space, that means the whole concept of space is inapplicable. It's not that it's immeasurably large, right? Like space, we think of space as going on infinitely. When we say it is not defined, circumscribed, or limited by space, think of the concept of space as inapplicable. You can take it from the standpoint of Ishwar, anything within the creation, it's not away from. But if you take it from its own nature, your own being as consciousness, the words big, large, small, infinite in size, these don't apply. There is no space. There is no concept of space for conscious being. Yeah. Kala, it's not that it's lasted for a long time. It's not limited by the concept of time. There is no time. It is timeless. It is, you are timeless, there is no time, you are free of space. And so when we're doing the nididhyasana or the unfoldment and pointing towards your own nature and doing a drisha viveka, you know, differentiating the subject, ultimately the subject from the object, these words become important, because when you get to your own being in nididhyasana, you can say, well, what size am I? Does this word apply? You know? I can't say the word I'm present either, because there is no past or future. I'm not present in the terms of there being existing a past or future. I'm the very presence. The very presence in which the present moment takes place. The present moment comes into being, goes out of being. It has a past and a future. But the presence in which the present takes place doesn't have a past or future.
Mm-hmm.
So the word kala doesn't apply to me. And this is what I have to recognize in this viveka jnanam. I have to recognize what those words mean. That my being is not recognized in terms of large or small, and it's not recognized in terms of past, present, or future, nor is it something that I can objectify, like I can objectify anything within the creation, subtle or gross. I can objectify it and differentiate it from other things. The Atma can't be objectified to be compared with or differentiated from other things. It is always the same. See what I mean? So the teaching has to be doing its job,
yeah,
you know, for you to recognize what that means.
Yeah.
Okay. So sarvaihi aparichinnaha amita iti asamitaha, and then sarvaihi api. Artajatayi parichinnaha mittaha sammittaha. Okay, so sarvaihi api, also, you can do it like this, by everything. Everything means what? Artajatas, artajatayi, by the whole, jata means like a collection, a group, an assemblage. An assembly of artas. All of the artas means all of the things that exist. The word padartha, the word pada means a word. Padartha is the object of a word. So these are all padarthas. Like the word is lamp. The pada is lamp, the word lamp. The padartha is the lamp. Right? So by all the padarthas, by all of the artas, right? By all of the things that exist, so what does it say here? Sarvaihi artajatahi, by the whole collection, artajatas, everything that falls into the definition of a thing, parichinnaha, that which is limited or circumscribed by, or defined, you can even say, by all the whole jata of things. So if I say Lord Vishnu, I can say Vishnu is defined by the lamp, by the chair, by the rug. There is no padartha, there is no thing that is not Vishnu. So say if I say Vishnu is the lamp, I can say he's the lamp, but I can't say he's not the chair. I have to be able to say Vishnu is the lamp, Vishnu is the space, Vishnu is the chair, Vishnu is this body, Vishnu is the cloth, Vishnu is the mind. There is nothing that is not Vishnu. So that mittaha is sammittaha. So you can take it either way, but the asammittaha is in vogue. That's why she says, the former reading, the asammittaha, is the one that's more in vogue.
Alrighty.
Choji likes to use these. You know, he's not a native speaker, so he has this huge vocabulary and he likes to kind of throw out some of these things sometimes, even though in this context we probably wouldn't choose to use that word, right?
Yeah. It's very Indian, you know.
Yeah.
It makes it memorable for us Westerners. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's so sweet. It's such a nice thing. As one whose presence is well revealed, well determined, that's the sammittaha, the well there, the well revealed, the sammittaha, well determined through all things in the entire creation, he is sammittaha. See? Okay. I think that's, I feel that's good enough for us. Om swasti prajabhya paripalayantam nyayena margena mahimahishah ko brahmanebhya shivamastu nityam loka samasta sukhino bhavantu kale varshatu parjanyah prithivi sasya shalini desho yamcho bharahitah Brahmana santu nirbhayaha Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha Sarve santu niramayaha Sarve bhadrani pashyantu Ma kashchit dukkha bhag bhavet Asato ma satkamaya Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya Mrityorma amritam gamaya Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudakshate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi
Hari Om Shri Gurupyo Namaha. Hari Om.